God and the blood that was all for God. Colossians speaking of he made peace through the blood, and that was God. Isn't it, we've been looking at it, what God enjoyed, and the fullness of God got out of it. Isn't there also the other side of it, what God demanded? Wouldn't it be the standard that God required, would be seen here, that nothing less would have done?
And all that the Father hath given me.
All of the Father, yes. His entire, the essential deity and all that he was, that God knew was there, that was necessary to meet the demands of a God who wanted to bring peace.
Now, I often thought that, Brother Kelly, that when we were on the meal offering, not only was Christ the willing person to go to the cross, but he was the fit person to go to the cross. And therefore that brings in your thought here, that even in these excellencies that are portrayed in the peace offering, were all God's standard, and Christ had them all. And that's what's seen in its totality on the cross. Now, when we come to the goat, does anyone any thought on the goat? I'm asking these questions to bring it out and keep it moving. Anyone in the audience, any word?
All three of these groups of animals were careful eaters. All three of these groups of animals were careful eaters when it comes to the herd or the flock, either the bullock or the sheep or the goat fawn. And isn't the word ruminating that they chew the cud? And so it wasn't just a matter of devouring the food, but there was a careful assimilation of the food. And that's what led to the fat within us. That's probably one of the great areas where we fail. At least I find that in my own experience. Sometimes it seems as if a truth is revealed to you, or you appreciate something in particular from the Word of God, and there needs to be a going back and a bringing this back to mind again, so that it can have a greater effect upon our lives and grasp more deeply within.
I take Brother Ken, as the brethren have mentioned, it's very obvious that the animals selected are clean animals, and they represent Christ that way perfectly to our minds. In their different aspects, the dignity of the herd and the submissiveness of the lamb and the stateliness of the goat, all these things are seen in Christ, and he was absolutely perfect in every facet of his being, and that was all in the altar. These things were taken from the suffering.
Have you ever thought on that, brother?
Well, I remember somebody putting a pigeon on a plate for me once. In fact, they put two pigeons on the plate for me. And I must admit there wasn't too much on them. And you wouldn't get much of a feast out of pigeons, would you? There wasn't much fat to put on the offering, on the altar for God. And there wasn't much for us. Now, whether there's anything else, I don't know, but I just know that you wouldn't get too much out of a turtle dove and a pigeon to enjoy fellowship. This is the saints of God enjoying fellowship one with another, and God is seeing to it that we're feeding on things in which of the person of Christ is here, of which there's much that we can enjoy.
I'll certainly allow you that, brother. That's very good.
Well, I don't know the rest, Bill, but that's it. Fine, thank you.
There was that which the priest had, the officiating priest. There was that which the priestly family had, and there was that which the offerer shared with his family. But that also had on it that which God appreciated, really, wholly and 100%. The superabundance of glory, the hope and confidence, Psalm 20:3, I'm cast on thee from my mother's womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was on my mother's breast. Hebrews 12, the author and finisher, the originator and completer of faith, that is not the faith, but his faith throughout his whole life. And so on that altar were all these things. The blood is always and only for God. In every case, only and always for God. And I ask a question here, what made the mercy seat the mercy seat? It was just the lid of the ark. That's all it was. Now, if I were to ask that, I'm asking, what made the mercy seat the mercy seat? When you get that answer, it's very simple. The sprinkled blood. And when God is satisfied, you can enjoy it. When he got off this altar, he was fully satisfied, and we can enjoy it. We can enjoy it.
That's excellent. Chapter 3 is really that idea. It's God's portion in chapter 3 of the peace offering. When we move to the law of the offering, we're now moving to our participants of that very thing that God enjoyed. So I think we should move into the law of the up there. Unless someone else has something on the fat and the blood, if they want to bring in something there. Did you have something?
I've been reading recently in Deuteronomy, and I can't find the chapter, but there's one chapter that speaks of the Israelites when he's established in the land, bringing his firstborn animal to the place that God has chosen, and there he had to share it with God, and there he rejoiced with his family and with the Levite that came from the town where he was. Now, I don't know if anybody has any comment to make on this. That is what Deuteronomy tells us. Does that suggest that the firstborn animal became a peace offering? It was the Lord's portion. That means that they couldn't kill that firstborn animal. They had to keep it until they went to the tabernacle, like Samuel's father went to the tabernacle. And did they not eat peace offerings there? Is that not the idea of the peace offering? So that once a year, every family went with their firstborn, the firstborn animal, and took it and presented it to the Lord and shared with the Lord in it.
That's Deuteronomy 12, I believe.
I have it just open here, but I couldn't remember it. I'm reading the French thing.
In all of the three animals that are mentioned, you have the liver, the kidneys, and the caul, and the inwards. There's no mention of the gall. The simple reason that there's no bitterness in Christ. And if we had that spirit, it would be a great help. We're thankful we have it here today.
For the remainder of the afternoon, the law of the peace offerings, it commences with verse 11 of chapter 7, and we're going to touch on the law of the thanksgiving in relation to the peace offering.
But when it came to the burnt offering, the head was to be placed upon the altar along with the rest of the parts, and that was offered up to God. And I think we were appreciating the fact that it spoke of the mind of Christ and what he understood about the divine will. And God found pleasure in that. But when it comes to the peace offering, obviously the head must have been the portion of the individual who brought it. It's not placed upon the altar. It's not the portion for the priest, because there was to be the heave shoulder, or the heave breast and the shoulder rather. But the head was for the offerer. And does this suggest the idea that he is feeding upon his knowledge of what was in the mind of God, what was in the mind of Christ, as to bringing peace and bringing him into that relationship with God?
We must see that in the burnt offering, all was for God. So when we think of the bullock, or we think of the sheep, or we think of the goat, it is only that which God can appreciate. Now, when we come to the peace offering, it's different. There is something concerning the person of Christ and his work that we also can appreciate. But we can only appreciate it in fellowship with God. So that there are aspects that we can enter into. Whereas in the burnt offering, it is something that only God can fully enter into.
It is remarkable likewise that in the law of the peace offerings of thanksgiving, what he has to offer is important to note. That is to offer with the sacrifice of things unleavened cakes. It seems to me it's linking back to what Brother Frank's reading and introducing with the peace offering the meal offering, that you have the both very closely linked together. He shall offer the sacrifice, giving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil and so forth, and fine flour. And I notice the word that's brought in, fried. Brethren will come in on that. Plus the fact that in this participation of the offer that's coming into the law of the peace offerings, we have the introduction of leaven. Whereas in the chapter 3 that we read in the peace offerings, there was certainly an omission of anything of that nature, because it's all speaking forth of Christ. Likewise, the burnt offering and the meal offering. But here in the peace offering, because we are the participants in that we have the introduction of the leaven. So we're going to look at two things just briefly when it comes to the Thanksgiving offering of the peace offerings. Brethren will come in on the links with the meal offering, the fine flour fried, and then the leaven introduced into it. I just throw that out for our consideration.
That one of the ways to promote fellowship, both with God and with each other, is to give more place to Christ. And that's why the meal offering is brought in here. Because the meal offering is offered with the peace here, isn't it? The more we appreciate the person of Christ, the more we're taken up with Christ, the more we'll enjoy fellowship one with another. One of the tragedies is, I remember a brother in Scotland, he said of the saints, he said, you know, one of the troubles with us is that we feed on failure. And we do feed on failure. And sometimes we love to feed on failure. And we feed on all the failures of the saints of God. And when we get round the homes, we start feeding on failure. The failures of the assembly. The failures of the elders. And the failures of the believers. Instead of feeding on Christ. And it's little wonder, child of God, that division comes in. And it's little wonder that strife's amongst us, because we're feeding on the wrong thing. And I notice here it's an offering of thanksgiving. He's got something to praise God for. And what he's got to praise God for, of course, is the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. And if he was to feed on Christ, then it would bring us into fellowship. The sad thing is, oftentimes we don't feed on the right thing, do we?
Would you agree, brethren, that when it comes to the offering of thanksgiving, that is a spontaneous thing. That is, it comes automatically, to use that word. It's not something we pump up. It's in the enjoyment of communion of what Christ is to God and our association with Him, that there ought to be constantly that thanksgiving. That is, it's not a worked up thing, it's a thing that comes spontaneous. When we're going to move in shortly after we look at this, to the voluntary vow, that's something different. That's something that, to my mind, brings in the idea of a crisis, or brings in the idea of something that we have resolved to do. Whereas the thanksgiving, to my mind, would flow readily, as you find in the New Testament counterpart, giving thanks always to God and so forth. That's what you have. Would you come in on that, brethren?
Would you also say that because of that, the unleavened that we have here is the perfect peace that God is in the enjoyment of, whereas the unleavened is the peace that we enjoy now, but it's enjoyed in imperfection?
The leavened. Yes.
The leavened is what we enjoy now, it's the imperfection, but the unleavened, I had thought, was the perfect peace that God is in the enjoyment of.
In this connection with the leaven cakes or the bread, there are only two occasions when anything leavened was accepted by God. And one was in the Feast of Pentecost. And the two loaves, fine flour baked with leaven, that's offered up unto the Lord. And isn't that a picture of the people of God collectively? as they are accepted by God because of the sacrifices that were offered on that occasion. And, of course, it has its corresponding picture in the New Testament, the Church of God being accepted through Christ. But do we have something that is personal and individual here? And this is a reason for thanksgiving. I am wondering if this leavened bread is a picture of the individual who brings the thank offering unto the Lord. And it's strange here, but it's described as an approach offering. The sacrifices are described as approach offerings, but now the leavened bread is described as an approach offering. And he is coming in this consciousness. This is one of the causes of his thanksgiving, that God has accepted me on the basis of this sacrifice. I enjoy peace, I enjoy fellowship with God because of the value in it. And it represents him personally in his acceptance before God.
Anyone have anything on that? Flour fried. What's the... maybe someone else's further development of that. But when you get the fine flour fried, when you get the fine flour in the meal offering, it's more the life of Christ. But when you get the fine flour fried, it's bringing in his, to the culmination, his death upon the cross. So I took it was going further than just the meal offering. It was going to the very ultimate where he died. Yes.
His life lived. His life lived, only lived, would have condemned us. But now it's made suitable for us in that it has been made in a way suitable for us to partake of, and so we have it tried.
A life I gave for the life of the world in John's Gospel. Very good.
We must appreciate that what is in view is the character of the person. That's what's in my mind. The blood shed speaks of the death of Christ. But here it's emphasizing the character of the person on the cross, rather than the shedding of the blood. You know what's in my mind. I mean, the peace offering is slain. You know that's the death of Christ. But linked with that, there is the character of the person, the impeccability, even... that's what I'm thinking.
It would be a sacrifice.
Bless God, wouldn't it? I notice verse 15, the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day.
Yes.
When we start to appreciate what God has done for us, and it's a sad heart if we can't give God peace. Lovely verse in Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And peace is linked with thankfulness. The same in the book of Philippians, when it says, be careful for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgivings, that your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. That thanksgiving is linked with peace.
And when you get that idea, Brother Menace, on the same day, it would indicate, wouldn't it, that this... we should be living in the constant thanksgiving daily of these blessings.
The same day and the 2 days.
Yes.
I know we discussed it, but go ahead. And then also, there was a portion which we can't leave out, because that's sweet here, and I've been waiting patiently here. What was the offering priest, the officiating priest, shoulder, and what was the priestly family, the breast, and what was for the offering, the flesh. So, and then what was for God, that means everyone came in. So however you want to get to these first, I would like to, I think that's a sweet note.
When it comes to the one day idea of the thanksgiving, that has to do with living in the absolute present enjoyment of the peace offering or of what Christ has done for me. When it comes to the vow, that my own simple understanding would be the 2 days. That is, there's one thing I did look at. When you're always thinking of two, you're thinking of a testimony, aren't you? And I've wondered that when it comes to the vow, it's linking us now with consecration. It's linking us to a voluntary sacrifice to be eaten the same day. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall not be burnt with fire. I would take it that I just thought the two was in a different realm. It's not the present thing so much as a consideration of the involvement of what's involved in the vow. There's more involved in a vow than what there is in a thanksgiving that we would give and render to the Lord daily in a present enjoyment. When it comes to a vow, there must be, an assessment, an evaluation. And therefore, there's the two deaths brought in. That's how I'd looked at it, just simply. Now, you develop that a little further.
No, that's very good. You should always be coming day by day with thanksgiving. And when you come with thanksgiving, in everything give thanks. That's expected. And you're giving thanks for what you receive. The vow and the voluntary is something stepping a little extra. And when you're stepping out extra, God trusts you with a little more. He give you a couple of days to enjoy and practice and appreciate that away from the altar, but not too much. The third day you lose the whole value. You've got to keep in the value of the altar. And now on those different parts of the family and the breast. And
Of course, the heave offering. This goes to five. Maybe someone wanted to come in or not, just for anyone here?
I was thinking of the second day. It's something special, and because of that, there is time for assimilating. That was the thought that I had in mind, that this present enjoyment of peace, there should be thanksgiving every day, but when there is something that is special, as we're thinking of the vow, then God gives us time for assimilation, but as our brother Frank has said, it's not to be left until the third
day. Brother Phil and others, I think that the idea behind it is that there must be a fresh exercise, too. We cannot go on in that one vow. There must be a continual exercise. You can enjoy it the next day, but on the third day, that's the day of corruption, of course, isn't it? This is what says of Lazarus. It's the third day stinketh. And you don't want to bring corruption into divine things. And you don't want to spoil divine things. And if we haven't an exercise and a continual exercise in the things of God to appreciate what God has done for us, then sadly it can come to corruption.
Now at the end of the chapter,
getting back to this meal offering, now that was Psalm 16, and that thou wilt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. If the body of the Lord did lay, it wouldn't have. A year would never have seen corruption. Impeccable, never would have corrupted. Now on this family,
the three that are before us here, the children of Israel, verse 28, they bring their peace offerings as oblation. His own hands shall bring this, the offerings of the Lord made by fire, which is important. His own hands would bring us into the responsibility of our appreciation of the person of Christ brought into fellowship with God and His Son. It almost brings to mind Psalm 45 and the wording of it, that the things which I have made as touching the King, what His own hands have brought. So there is that thought again seen in the meal offering, but the thought of His own hands brings in a very practical, responsible feature in the children of Israel and its application to us in what we bring. And then when it comes to the His own hands to bring the fat with the breast, it shall He bring that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. You've got the wave offering, and then you've got the heave offering. Now, I would take it the distinction being the wave offering is connected to the breast, and the breast is always in relation to the affections of Christ. And when you get to the heave offering, it's connected more to the shoulder, and that's always in relation to the strength of Christ. And so each one in their participation brought that which they could enjoy in fellowship with God. Let my brethren come in on the three
ideas. It's almost like the stones that were on the breastplate. tender affections of our high priest and on the shoulder and all the strength. But now, would you want to come in or something on this, the officiating priest? There's something dear here that's very dear to me. And then the priestly family. And then the offer himself going home and eating with his own family. Okay. When you get the officiating priest in these offerings, you're getting that which is typical of Christ. Now that's important to see. Alright? And you know what he got? The shoulder. Shoulder. You would never get the shoulder. See, the shoulder was that which speaks of strength. You know Isaiah, don't you? The government shall be upon his shoulder. Okay? And the very strength of all that he did in procuring this. He disarmed the strong man that we might be in the enjoyment of peace. So the shoulder very briefly speaks of Christ. And you always know that there was a difference between Aaron and the family of priests. When Aaron was anointed, there was no blood. You know why? Because Christ didn't need to go in with blood. But when the priestly family was anointed, they were sprinkled with blood. So there's a difference. And that's what you see in these offerings. There's a difference. I could go on and on in the difference. The priestly family was sprinkled with oil. Psalm 133 in Aaron. The oil was poured upon Aaron. That speaks of the fullness of the Spirit upon Christ. So that difference is important always to distinguish that he's the only one called the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now when you come to the priestly family, they got the breast. The breast. And you know, that would tell us nicely of the church, wouldn't it? We feed on the one that loved the church and gave himself for it. See? And the affections of Christ. And what do we put? We put up that, the breast of Christ, the bosom, laid bare. And what do we get? Pure, unadulterated love. He sold all that he had that he might buy the pearl of great price. You say to me, didn't he buy the treasure? No, he didn't. Read it carefully. He bought the field, never bought the treasure. But he bought the pearl and he sold all that he had. And so you can see the affections of Christ. Even he that was rich became poor. Infinitely rich. Desperately poor. But then you say, what do you make of the flesh? And the family there. And they go home and eat and enjoy it. Israel will come into the good one land of this peace. They don't have peace now. They can say shalom, coming and going. But they don't have peace. They don't have it. They don't have the plural word, if you please. You say, when will they come in the good of it? We come in the basis of Christ. They come in the basis of Romans. I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. And in mercy, he'll bring them back. And they'll enjoy in the land every man under his vine, every man under his feet. And you can see everyone. So there's a great scope to this enjoyment of peace. We enjoy it. God delights in it. That which speaks of Christ, he has a great delight. He's the strength that procured it. And so on. Will you go along with that?
The foreshadowing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Right.
Of that peace offering and the benefits that are going to come to us, the church that we enjoy today and the benefits in the future day.
There's a way that bringeth Christ in resurrection, the heave shoulder, Christ in exaltation. I noticed with the first fruits it was weighed. And I wonder what it would bring before me, Christ in resurrection. The shoulder, the power of strength, it's been exalted right to the throne. And it's good, isn't it, for priestly men to be able to feed upon a resurrected, exalted Christ.
Very good, brother.
When you're taking the gospel out, never forget that. There's a love in John 3:16 that knows no boundaries. And that breast is weighed, the affections of Christ. And while it's only said that he loved the church and he loved us and he loved me, and you never read that Christ loves sinners, but you would never doubt it, would you? And never doubt it, right? Did you know that? He never said, yeah, well, it says of one rich ruler that he loved them. You were going to say that, weren't you?
Yeah.
I cut it just, thank God I just come in on time. But anyway, you see, it says he loved them. But you see, the point is this. It's up to us to enjoy that peace and the enjoyment of it and the affections of Christ that we would like to bring others into. that tender, loving affection. But it must be to live in a world with no affection from the risen head, really.
Some of these things are seen, aren't they, in the way breast. I'm thinking of the prayers of the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 3, it's a prayer all of love. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's a prayer all about power. He wants you to understand the love that brought us to God. In chapter 1, he wants us to recognize the power that has been demonstrated toward us. In the one, you have the wave breast. In the other, you have the heave shoulder. I suppose in Galatians 2 and 20, the Son of God loved me. There's the wave breast. He gave himself for me. That's the heave shoulder. Christ loved the church, Ephesians chapter 5. That's the wave breast. He gave himself. That's the heave shoulder. And you can run through scriptures to see where the wave breast and the heave shoulder is coming in. The affections of the Christ of God and the power that marks him as he moved for his own.
Right over the wave breast, as our brother Frank has mentioned, Christ loved the church. I think we can use the word sin of Israel is, and fellowship of Israel is the peace offering. And I think that we see the enjoyment of peace that God has as a result of the work of Christ. That perfect enjoyment of peace, I think that we see the peace that Christ is in the enjoyment of through his own work, that strength that was necessary and only he could have accomplished the work. But I think of the peace that we are in the enjoyment of, not in its perfection. There is imperfection with us, but we're in the enjoyment of that. But we must remember it's far wider than that. It's not only Israel that's going to be brought in, but Gentiles, apart from the church, in a deep
fashion. Yes. Very good. It's interesting to find out where this is eaten, isn't it? In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12, it tells me that this sacrifice is eaten in the holy place, or in the court. It's eaten in connection with the tabernacle. So that when we're moving in communion with God and we're enjoying fellowship with God and all are enjoying divine things, it's going to keep me near to that which is dear to the heart of God. I'll never get away from God's assembly. And I'll never get away from the fellowship of saints. Because all of these ate this in the holy, in the court, we're told.
Wouldn't you say, brother, that that's linked to 1 Corinthians 10?
I do indeed.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The fellowship offering, the peace offering?
I can't be going and mingling myself with things outside.
That's right.
If I'm in fellowship and having communion, if I'm at the Lord's table, if I'm enjoying 24 hours a day fellowship with Him, but I think the Lord's table goes much further than the Lord's Supper, and if we're enjoying fellowship with God 24 hours a day, then you can't have fellowship out there. It's going to keep me near to divine and holy things.
John said his own, five times he said in his gospel that the disciple whom Jesus loved, and that was the apostle of love who leaned upon his bosom, but he also leaned upon his breast. He leaned upon his bosom. Note the two words when you read. Don't have time. But the bosom, tender affection. The breast was the breastplate. No wonder they asked him around the table, you ask him who's going to betray him. Why? He was on the breastplate. He was on the breastplate. Now, it's a good place to be. Now you say to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, are you the only one that Jesus loved? No, no, I'm just letting you know I'm conscious of that. It's a good place to be, on his bosom. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The little old lady was sitting in the chair under the sun. She says, I got a whole son for myself.
I says, oh, that's for everybody. Yeah, she says, but I'm enjoying it. Keep yourself on the bosom. Keep yourself on the breastplate. And enjoy the tender affections and the loving affections of the Savior. And you know what? You'll get warmer than you would get in the sunlight. You're very warm.
I noticed, Frank, that when John was near to the bosom, it seems to me he was there for what he could learn. But it's the unfolding or unveiling of the glories of Christ that come out of John's text. He's the man of the bosom. I noticed that Judas was near at hand, but he was there for what he could get. Now, we can be near at hand for what we can get. We can be amongst the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude only went on with divine things because of what they could get out of it when they saw the way that God blessed them. And there may be folks here today, and you're just part of the mixed multitude. You've seen that God has been blessing his saints, and so you want to get near to them. But there's no true reality. You've never been really under the blood, and you've never been really covered. Far better to be near to the heart and near to the breast. For though we might be near for what we can get, it's better to get near to what we can learn.
In the Lord Jesus Christ, there was 70 that he sent. There was 12, which were reduced to 11 and then became 12 again, right? There was 3 on 3 occasions he took with him. But there was 1 that leaned on his boot. Get as close as you can. Never mind getting close to men. Get as close as you can to the Lord Jesus. And you'll enjoy it.
In gospel really concludes with that, doesn't it? That idea that they worship him, and then they return to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So you get the fellowship thing of the peace offering there, John.
I was going to add to what our brethren were saying. Looking at verses 15, 16, and 17 about the days, and looking at the verse about your own hands, 30, and linking it with the gathering of the manna, does that not show us the divine wisdom and grace of God making suitable allowances for our participation in these divine things? And when these meetings are over, we need to go and take theirs and with our own hands dig all these things out again.
And although, Brother Hal, there's this divine provision, as Brother John has pointed out, there is a responsibility upon us. I'm thinking of verses 20 and 21 of chapter 7. You see, there were some who could not offer the peace offering. So that there is a responsibility upon us to be in the right condition, to be in the enjoyment of this peace. And enjoyment of the work of Christ in this aspect of the peace offering, there is a responsibility upon us.
Thanks very much, Brother. Just to conclude with this, that I thought in Luke's Gospel, I'm just putting this in application, that the peace offering, I'm using this in Luke chapter 15, in the fellowship, when they were brought in over the fatted calf, let us eat, let us fellowship, let us eat and be merry. For this and so forth. So there's the idea of the peace offering. When you go to chapter 18, intruding here, you go to the sin offering, where the man said, God be merciful to me, the sinner, the expiation of his sin. And when you go, of course, to Luke chapter 19, you've got the trespass offering, he restored fourfold. So you get the three ideas running, but Luke chapter 15 brings the fellowship in. We've been brought into the bounty to enjoy this. Thank you very much.
Now, after the meeting is closed in prayer, supper will be served in the cafeteria. And again, we would remind the brother to close in prayer to give thanks for the food. There will be a prayer meeting in room 215, just down the hallway here. At 6:15, the prayer meeting will begin sharp, 6:15, and then the gospel at 7. Now, the speakers tonight are James McCullen and Bill Bingham. And again, if you haven't got a place to stay, see our brother Lloyd King.
the close of our session this afternoon, and we do thank Thee for the privilege of considering this portion from the Word of God. Thank Thee for bringing again before us the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He is the one who has made peace, and the one whom we have peace. And we thank Thee for all that we delight in, but for all that Thou hast delight in as well. We do thank Thee again for the blessings that Thou hast brought us into because of Thy love and grace with us. Our Father, we will look to Thee for Thy continued help. We ask Thy blessing and undertaking in view of the gospel meeting tonight. Thank Thee for the kindness of Thy people, so graciously ministering to our needs, for the food that has been prepared, and for every expression of Christian love and hospitality that has been extended. We do give Thee our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.